Hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
It's been after a while.
Nearly a year hiatus, it feels like.
Oof.
I don't think it was a year, but...
It's
been a long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we decided that since we took such a long time off, we would do something a little different for this episode... to reacquaint you with who your lovely hosts, Dwight and Christy, are. So that's our plan, right?
Yep. So to that end, we came up with a idea of sharing with one another three truths and a lie. And we will then explore those, each of us in turn, try to decipher which one is the other person's lie.
Yeah.
And then give a chance to discuss the other three truths.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
All right, so we have texted them to each other.
Yes, yeah.
And do you want, why don't you, we'll start with yours.
Okay.
So you read what you have texted me.
All right.
Okay.
I will read what I texted to you. I said, one, I rode a horse before I could walk. Two, I had dinner with the most famous bullfight aficionado in the world. Three, I was offered a position as a roadie for U2's Zooropa tour. And four, I sat in the luxury box of the owner of the LA Galaxy Soccer Club at the NCAA National Championships in 2002.
Okay, so...
Okay.
I know that the first one is the truth. That you rode a horse before you could walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
that's the most mundane of them, from my perspective.
It's not at all mundane. It's one of my favorite things about you.
To put that in context, folks, I was raised on a sheep and cattle ranch in extreme rural Wyoming. So that was not uncommon for people to ride horses before they could even practice life as a biped.
If you are from anywhere else in America, that is crazy pants to you, which is why it was crazy pants to me the first time Dwight told me that. And it is one of my favorite things to, like, tell people about you, to, like, situate, like, to give context as to who you are. Last night, actually, I was talking with Melissa, and I said, yeah, this is a man who rode his horse to his one-room schoolhouse.
That was the other thing I thought about putting in there was the fact that I went to a one-room trailer house, schoolhouse.
Yeah, I mean, schoolhouse, it makes it seem like it looks like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a couple that did look like that
in
the neighborhood, but ours just happened to be a single wide trailer.
Oh, you make it sound so classy it
was,
and sexy.
It was just as classy as you can imagine. Yeah. Yeah, that was, I know I've told you that before, but that was the site, the single-wide schoolhouse was the site in which Daryl Roush, our neighbor, he might have had to have been 7 years older than me, taught me a valuable lesson the first day I went to school as a kindergartner. We did half days as a kindergartner,
for a half day. I also did a half day as a kindergartner.
Yeah, and I went there, and the first day his younger brother cornered me in the hallway of the trailer.
Okay.
And they said something to the effect of, so, little boy, you ever seen a match burn twice? And, of course, being young and naive and silly, I said, no, I don't know what that means.
Right.
So he proceeded then to take a match from his pocket, strike it, blow it out. That's once. And then pressed the still hot embers of the match onto my forearm. Said, "That's twice."
That's so mean.
We're very good friends this very day.
Are you?
Yeah. He claims.
I've heard you talk about.
He claims not to remember that episode at all. But of course, you wouldn't. Cop to that.
Make a match burn twice. That's very much like I could have seen my brother doing that to me. That's very much like a sibling thing.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
that happened to you.
I tried to get him back once later on when I found out that he was chewing tobacco at the 4-H camp.
Oh, that is, oh, this is why I know his name.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
So, but the unfortunate reality was I did report him mm-hmm. for using tobacco, which is strictly illegal according to the rules of 4-H. Mm-hmm. Sad fact was, though, his mother was the one who ran the camp. So I reported it directly to the head of the camp, and she seemed very nonplussed by it.
Oh, she wasn't concerned that her wee boy was chewing tobacco?
Yeah, he was, you know, he was...
How old?
15.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Mm.
Yeah, then a couple years later, so yeah.
Seems a little young, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, well, it's a different age in a different place, so yeah. Oh, right. So, okay. So you're saying that you're confident that that is one of the truths.
I know that you rode a horse before you could walk.
Okay.
So then we get to number two. That you had dinner with the world's most famous bullfighting aficionado.
Yeah, Noel Chandler is his name.
So, I have to say,
I had to look that up today.
You had to look up that that was his name? Well, now I feel like you're giving it away that that's a lie. If you had to look the guy's name up. Okay, hold on. Pause on that.
Okay.
So I'm torn between that and number four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn between two, three, and four. Because you said, okay, two, had dinner with the world's most famous bullfight aficionado.
Yep. Yeah.
Three, you were offered a position as a roadie for U2's tour. And four, that you sat in the luxury box with an owner of the LA Galaxy Soccer Club. I don't know any of these things, and I feel like if they were the truth, that I should know them.
They
would have come up.
Already come up, right?
Yes.
I know. That's why.
So my important question is, are you following the rules? Is only one of these a lie?
Oh, is that the rule? I thought it was fudge the truth and one truth. No, I can say honestly, only one of those is a lie.
Okay, so I am going to choose that number. Number.
That's not a number.
That's not the number. Damn it.
Christy's numerical illiteracy is.
I would understand numbers so much better if it was like, yeah. Shit. Damn.
You add a fuck to a titty and you get an S. What?
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Have you been playing Loodle? Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Loodle in a second. I think I'm going to say. Oh, it feels too obvious, but I'm going to say that number three is the lie.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Final answer, I'm going to say number three is the lie.
Why do you base it? Why do you say that?
Because I really feel like you would have said to me if you were offered a position as a roadie with you too. When would you even have encountered this opportunity?
Right. Oh. Right, unlike the other ones that are pretty obvious that I would encounter.
Well, okay. A famous bullfight aficionado. You could easily run into a guy like that in Wyoming because you have the bullfight stuff.
No, not rodeo bullfighting.
You spent time in Spain.
Yeah. Okay. So you're saying.
So I've switched reasons, but the reason stands. And then number four, you knew the year. You said in 2002, and you lived out in California,
so I could
see that happening.
Uh-huh, okay.
So I am going to say that you were never offered a position as a roadie for U2.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
You can tell me the answer?
Am I supposed to? Is that the next step?
I think so. Yeah. And then we'll talk about the other thing.
Yeah, your intuition is entirely correct. You ferreted out the... The lie, as it were.
I'm right?
You were right.
Yes!
Yeah, yes!
Yes!
Yep. I was never offered a position as a roadie on U2's Zoo TV tour, although I thought that would been pretty cool. And I might have when I lived in Europe, you know, could have seen that.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that could have been something. But we've talked about your stories from when you spent time in Spain and Europe, and I feel like that would have come up.
Yeah, probably.
That's why I was like,
That's kind of a big
deal. I would know.
I know. Mine.
Yeah. All right. So tell me about number two. You had dinner with.
Yeah. That was kind of a fun situation. So his name is Noel Chandler. And I'd heard about him, knew his name from before, Because in my youth, I became quite enamored of Hemingway, specifically his fiction and nonfiction about Spain, because I would, and really fueled my passion for Spain. And then in his, he discusses bullfights quite a bit.
Does
Hemingway, quite a fan himself. And he mentions this fellow, Noel Chandler, who only went on to be even more prominent. He's an English person who I think lived his majority of his adult life in Spain.
Okay.
And so I knew of him before. And the last time I was in Spain, I went there for work to, we were looking to maybe do a field work site or take places, take students on a summer exchange program.
That would be cool.
It would have been cool. Yeah. I'll tell you more about that someday, but
okay.
Cause it never came to fruition, but I got money by the university to go over there and do it. So went, initially straight to Sevilla, which is where I'd lived before. And it's one of the centers of bullfighting in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to get there just on the day in which the last bullfight of the season was being held. And that was really cool. So we just jumped right into the stadium and watched a bullfight. I hadn't seen one in, you know, by that point, it had been decades since I'd last seen a bullfight. But, but that isn't where we encountered Noel Chandler, actually, interesting enough. Did the rest of the tour of Spain, tried to find a place to, and did encounter places to, you know, house students and do all this stuff. Yeah. Had it almost all together, and then the university put the kibosh on it.
Hmm.
Yeah. But then on the way out, last day in Spain, end up in Madrid to fly out and down in this district of Spain, of Madrid, that's the capital, obviously, and it's lots of old bars and restaurants, trying to find a place to eat, and stumbled into this one, and they had a bullfight on, just a little open-air cafe that was serving food and whatnot, and start watching a little bit of the game, or the game, of the bullfight, and strike up a conversation with this guy in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, soon enough, we realize we're both English speakers, so
that makes it easier.
Soon enough after that, it comes to light that who this guy is.
That's crazy.
I decipher it.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, we're talking bullfights, and I think he was, you know, always probably game to talk about the stuff and recognized I knew a little bit about it and stuff. And so, sure enough, then he invites us to his house to go. He wants to go change his clothes, and then he's going to take us out to dinner.
Okay.
So we go to his house, and amazingly well-appointed place in the center of Madrid.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was of means, let's call it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah,
I would
assume. Yeah, and we had a drink there, and then we went and had dinner and talked, you know, about things, bullfighting included. Yeah, it was just an amazing coincidence, but just a really hospitable guy. He's passed away now since then. That was 2009, I guess.
Okay, that was going to be my next question.
He passed away in 2013, yeah. So just a rare coincidence of an opportunity to brush up with somebody quite renowned for...
You know, who you knew not just from bullfighting, but also from reading Hemingway.
Yeah,
like,
that's
so neat.
Right. Because there's this moment in that cafe where I'm like, you know,
right.
This is who this is. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh.
Who were you with? Personal friends or colleagues?
No, it was Olivia.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, she didn't know anything about that stuff.
Right.
No real interest in bullfighting she had. So it was just totally fueled by my little fanboy thing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was a funny little moment in time, you know. So yeah. Yeah. That's number two. And then the third truth was, that I actually did sit in the luxury box with the owner of the LA Galaxy Soccer Club when they had the NCAA championships there in 2009. The University of California, Santa Barbara was playing in the championship.
Okay.
It was the semifinal game, actually. Me and my buddies, Bill.
Who you've met. Yes, I only recently met.
Bill, a couple of the other people that they mentioned, Ernest.
Your group.
Yeah, that whole crew. We went down there and we were all dressed up in serapes and hats because University of California at Santa Barbara's mascot's the Gauchos.
Okay, all right.
Not exactly what we were dressed up as, but
close enough.
We're a little cultural appropriation.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So, a little bit in your 20s.
Anyway, we were having fun and the owner saw us. It's really small arena.
Okay.
You know, maybe 5,000-10,000 people.
Okay.
And so it's not a big stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I take that back. It's probably well more than that, but it's not huge. But anyway, so the box is pretty close.
Right, yeah.
And so he saw us being silly, and because we were having so much fun, he wanted us up in the box.
You're kidding me.
So he invited us up, and we got the full spread, alcohol, food.
Like, that's like something that happens in movies.
Watch the rest of the game from up there, yeah. And I actually got to meet – he had celebrities up there. I got to meet Cal Ripken Jr., who was, you know, a famous baseballer.
Yeah, is he the one who did the – He didn't do the cheating.
No.
Okay.
No, but it was. I got a photograph of him. He's a massive human being. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You forget. You lose sight of that one.
Yeah. How big they are.
Yeah. Exactly. When
you
all
see them.
Yeah. Arrayed up against one another, the disparity is not there. But when they're with normal people, you're like, gee, many Christmas. Yeah. That's the thing. I remember putting my arm around his back, and my full length of my arm could barely get to the other side of his waist. Like, and he's not a. You know, not a beefy guy or anything.
Right, but yeah.
Yeah, so, yep, that was my two, relative brushes with anything like...
Yeah.
What the cool kids do.
What the cool kids do.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. And I have not heard any of those stories.
Right, that's why I chose them,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, except for the horse part.
But yeah, I knew that.
Right?
Should have done better.
All right, now we should turn to yours, huh?
Okay.
All right, so you're going to read them to me?
Sure. Okay, three truths and a lie. I was almost kidnapped when I was a child.
Okay.
I have committed 2 hit and runs in my life. I have never been in a fist fight. I have abducted as many animals as I've killed.
Do you really want to say this stuff on podcast? I think we're walking into some very fraught territory. Do not statute of limitations apply in some of these?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I was kidnapped. Committed a two. Oddly, it was 2 hit and runs. never been in a fist fight. And I know I have abducted as many animals as I've killed. I heard well of your proclivity for feline abductions.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to rule that one out as first one that's the truth, because you have a reputation. And I'm confident you've probably never intentionally killed an animal.
Well, there's the chicken fight, or the chicken that I killed, and then...
Oh.
The rabbits that I killed.
Yeah, but these are not... You've never actually set out to kill an animal.
Well, the chicken we did set out to kill. That was Uncle Mark and I.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, it went terribly wrong. That's the only animal I've ever set out to kill.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that was justified. That was that was ruled a justifiable homicide.
It was ruled a justifiable homicide.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that one's ruled out. That was the easiest one to rule out by far.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, right.
That one is a truth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I have never been in a fist fight. Just what I know of your sordid past, I cannot believe that's... Well, let's come back to that. Let me reflect more upon that. Okay. I don't want to say anything disparaging. committed 2 hit and runs in my life. Ooh, that seems very damning.
It does, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right. I'm going to rule out as a truth that you were almost kidnapped when you were a child.
You're going to rule that out as a truth?
Truth.
So you're saying that's the lie?
No, I'm saying that's a truth.
Oh, okay.
That you were probably... I could see somebody trying to nab you. I know where you grew up, and I know... I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. So those two already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to say more about how that...
So my friend Jessica and I... And I feel like I might have mentioned this one to you before.
It's something about it,
right? Yeah. So my girlfriend Jessica and I are outside playing... on the street outside of our houses. And so this would be mid-80s. We're under 10, probably like 7-ish, something like that. And this van kept like circling the block kind of. And then it stops and he And it's just a lone guy in a van. And he goes, he's like, hey, can you guys give me directions? Do you know where? And he asks us like one of the street names.
How old are you again?
Like 7.
Right. And that's what most people do is go right to the 7-year-olds.
Right, exactly.
The bearers of geographic knowledge, right, as they're exactly. sometimes called. Yeah.
Right. Right, yes.
Okay.
And I remember feeling like, this doesn't seem right.
Okay, yeah.
But also being like, but I want to help.
Oh, yeah.
And so I remember being like really confused about mm-hmm. like what I should do. Yeah. And then my mom just happened to like look out the window and came outside like screaming, was like, get away from that van. Get away from my girls. And he drove off.
Okay.
And then she called the police. And they came and like asked us to like talk about like what did the van look like. We were like, I don't know, it was like a van and it was like blue with a stripe. What the guy look like? I don't know, he was like white with brown hair. Mm-hmm. And that's all we ever heard of it.
All right.
So I think that was a almost abducted.
You're gonna put that in the almost abducted category.
Yeah.
Okay. You did put almost kidnapped. Yes. So this is not, you were like not taken and then like released or
no, luckily none of that.
Right. Yeah. Thankfully, yes. Yeah. Right.
Okay. You've rolled out that.
Well, that's us too, right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I've abducted.
And I'm gonna have to say the third truth. I'm gonna have to believe, for two reasons, that you that you've never been in a fist fight. Now, part of me wants to imagine that you're capable of it, mm-hmm. that you would mm-hmm. you know throw down if circumstances you know push came to shove, so mm-hmm. to speak. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you said I've never been in it, it's a particular phraseology.
Okay.
And I can't believe that you would commit a hit and run, let alone two. I can't believe that a partner of mine would be guilty of such moral turpitude. So
you think the lie is
that you committed two hit and runs in your life?
Oh, you're correct. That is the lie.
Okay.
Because I've only committed one.
You heard it here, folks.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's the other thing. That was the one that when I said to you, I'm not sure if that's a lie or a truth, but I was coming up with my list.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you would classify what I did as a hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hit a car and drove away. So.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't like murder a person.
You didn't.
I did not hurt anybody.
Yeah, I think that's leaving the sign of an accident.
Okay, all right.
Sight of an accident. I don't think you, but hit and run.
Does that always mean like you've murdered a person? Like you hit a person with your car?
No, legally. I think I always assumed it meant like to moving vehicles too. Like hit and run kind of like, but I guess it could be if you just ran over somebody or hit a parked car.
So, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that you're a felon and are probably under, you know.
Yeah, it was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's a felony anyway.
I think
it's probably
so.
A misdemeanor.
Yeah, if anything,
yeah.
they don't care.
Yeah, it's statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Nobody's hurt.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
As long as you didn't kill anyone.
I did not kill anybody.
Yeah,
I did fuck up that car.
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
Right? And you've never been in a fist fight.
I've never been in a fist fight.
Yeah.
I've been very close many times.
I almost wanted that to be the lie. And you have some great story about how you
beat the shit out of someone.
Threw down on someone. But
no, I
it
mean.
It would be very hard for me to fathom the context in which you would.
I mean, I've been, there was in high school, there was like.
Yeah, right.
There were almost fights.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've told you this before, I credit the gym teacher. Oh man, I forget her name right now. But she stopped me from getting my ass beat because she broke it up. Because I would have gotten my ass beat.
Oh, you're saying you're not, you know,
No, I was the victim.
You would never have
no
held up against it. Okay. Yeah.
No. Huh. Yeah. I mean, there were incidents when, like, I mean, I will happily get into a verbal
sure
throwdown. Right. You no, know that.
Yeah.
You're right. Well aware of that.
Right.
But yeah, no, I've never. Okay. The closest I've ever come is pushing that boy down the stairs in elementary school, and that doesn't count as a fist fight.
No, technically, I guess not. Although, you know, assault, it doesn't have to be.
I mean, assault of a minor by a minor. What are they even calling that these days?
What are they calling that? They're calling it, was it a mine shaft that you threw him down?
No, it was just a flight of stairs.
Okay, so it wasn't minors that way.
Are you making fun of the way I shock?
No, but I'm planning on doing it a lot. I do another content. Yeah, that that brings us to one of the other topics we want to raise. New segments that we've decided to begin to integrate into our podcast.
New segments.
The one we're provisionally calling What Did You Say? Or a.k.a. the shit that comes out of Christy's mouth. So from time to time, as opportunity presents itself, we'll hopefully bring to your attention, dear listeners, something that as Christy has formed as a overt statement of, in the English language that might, you know, that it provoked some concern or...
Some concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other
segment
that we thought we'd introduce mm-hmm. is do something around the stuff that Yinzers do.
So, no, we're calling it the shit that pisses off Dwight about Pittsburgh.
AKA Yinzers on patrol. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know or aren't from Pittsburgh, you may not be aware that that's the Pittsburghese term for a person from Pittsburgh is to Yinzer. Refer to them as a Yinzer.
Yeah.
Right, for the collective pronoun that evolved as part of Pittsburghese.
Mm-hmm. Yins. Right? What Yins doing?
Right.
Yeah. It's
analogous to the southern use of y'all mm-hmm. in some regards. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, we hope to start integrating those segments in future episodes as we go forward. We plan on getting back on that horse very soon.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll get back on a weekly schedule or right. a bi-weekly schedule.
Yeah.
It's been a very long time.
Start producing some episodes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't worked out exactly where we're going to go back to the place we left off or if we're going to start with the new episodes. Right. We may do, maybe even do simultaneous of try to put out one of each.
Right? Look at you.
I don't know. You know, we're still working that through, but we're on it and we plan on being back in your ears on a regular basis now, from now on. Right? So, well, I guess that's a good place to start. Do you think there's anything else we need to
I think this is a great time to say bye, Yins, guys.
could not have said it better myself. All right, folks. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Bye.